Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, October 30th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 151, the second paragraph, The Less People Tolerate Us, and we'll read that paragraph only, and the comments will be on that paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Laura A., the 12 Traditions, Nan K., and the readers of the text are Eileen M., Nareya K., and Sherry K. B. And the share ID for Monday, October 29th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,114. That's 12114. And for Tuesday, October 30th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,116. That's 12116. And our newcomer greeter at the end of the meeting is Melanie K. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is affiliated with OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Laura A. to read the 12 steps. Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura A., recovered compulsive overeater from New Hampshire. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Laura A., and I will now ask Nan K. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, I'm Nan K. from Michigan, recovered. 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Nan K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 151, the second paragraph, The Less People Tolerate Us. And we're going to be reading that paragraph only, and the comments will be on that paragraph. And I will now ask Eileen M. to get us started.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. The less people tolerated us, the more we withdrew from society, from life itself. As we became subjects of King Alcohol, shivering denizens of his mad realm, the chilling vapor that is loneliness settled down. It thickened, ever becoming blacker. Some of us sought out sordid places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. Momentarily, we did. Then came oblivion and the awful awakening to face the hideous four horsemen. Terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. Unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. Oh, wow. That's, this really, I can really relate to this. And, one thing I was thinking is I looked up the word despair, and the definition I got was utter loss of hope or confidence. And, wow, that really describes how I felt when I was in the food. You know, I had despair, and I had, it says terror, and terror is dread. And I remember, shortly before I found this Vision for You meeting 2.5 years ago, I, would wake up in the morning with complete dread. I did not want to get out of bed. I was completely hopeless. And I was even in OA at the time and was trying to, use tools to recover. And, it didn't work for me. It's just using only the tools. And I couldn't figure out, it seemed like other people were recovered using the tools. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And I certainly had a lot of shame. I mean, there was always, shame would always follow overeating for me. I can identify with, wanting to escape. We were looking for understanding and companionship. And, this reminds me, I would just look for any escape that I could find. I even got into relationships that weren't good for me, that, I just looked to those people to fix me. and to make me feel better about myself. You know, I wasn't looking to a higher power. And I really isolated a lot. And, you know, I can remember the last time that I overate was 2.5 years ago. Thank you, God. And I remember it really well. I was, my partner had asked me to go out that night. It was a Friday night after work. And he said, let's go out. You know, I know this really great concert in town. And I was really looking forward to it. And that day I overate. And then I didn't want to go. It was like, it was really kind of suddenly, it was like, I don't want to go. And, you know, I kind of like went along and he was ordering dinner and I just kind of sat there because I was too full, so I couldn't eat dinner. And I just had such shame. I don't think I'll ever forget that shame. I hope I never forget it. So anyway, so thanks so much for letting me share and do service. My pass.
Thank you, Eileen, for getting us started. And I'll just remind everyone where we're on. We're on page 151, the second paragraph, The Less People Tolerate Us. And we'll be reading that paragraph only. And I'll take names now for those from those of you who'd like to share.
Ginger C.
Donna B.
Melanie C.
Marilyn T.
We got
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R. Okay. Got Ginger C., Donna W., Melanie C., Marilyn T., Lisa J.R. Anyone else right now? Okay, we'll go with that group. Ginger C., followed by Donna W.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your service this morning. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. What an amazing paragraph that we have. And I remember at one point when I started to do the work with my sponsor and I was going through these clear-cut directions and starting to forget. I think that's part of my problem as an addict. I have amnesia. I need to remember that bite and where it takes me to. And he just took me to this paragraph and we read it and it was like, whoa. Thank you, God, that I'm not there today, this king alcohol, this shivering denizens of his mad realm, and how that's the reality of what happens for me when I believe the greatest lie of all, that food is a friend and some type of an answer or solution to this thing called life, because that's where I go, this thickened, ever-becoming blacker, and then I wake up with the four hideous horsemen, the terror, the bewilderment, the frustration, the despair, pain. Ultimate pain. So I'm so grateful to remember. I think that's one of the most important words in the big book. I can't forget what happens in the reality because I have this mental blank spot that will try to come over and try to convince me, you know, and that first thought may come, but what I'm responsible for is a second thought. Oh, right. That's totally insane to think that a chocolate bar is my friend and isn't tomorrow Halloween and all the candy that's going to be out and amongst us. And that's not my solution today. It's just amazing that it's not my solution. And because of doing this work and having this entire psychic change, I've been free now for 3 years for the most part of my recovery because today is my abstinent OA birthday. 3 years ago, this beautiful beginning, God blindsided me and took my candy away. And thank you, God, because I can't imagine life with it today. My world is so bright, is so beautiful, is so big. And I feel useful and a part in a way that I never did before. So I'm just so grateful to be of this maximum service to God and those about me. And I pray I never again believe the greatest lie that food is any type of solution, because I don't want to go back to those four horsemen. That was painful. That existence was awful, and I wanted to die. And today I want to live. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Donna W., followed by Melanie C.
Hi, this is Donna B., as in boy, from Denver.
Sorry.
No problem. I, too, am a recovered compulsive overeater, and it wasn't so long ago that I had feelings of wanting to die. My husband would ask me, do you have a plan? And I would say, no. And he would suggest that I just go to my room and wait it out. And that's what I would do. When we talk about the alcoholic foods and the allergy of the body, for me, one of the allergic reactions that I have to my binge foods is that I want to die. Another allergic reaction that I have to my binge foods is despair and loneliness. I can't see the possibility that my life will have joy or meaning in it again. When I'm abstinent, life still has challenges, lots of challenges. I feel especially that the last few days have been very challenging for me. But those challenges are not accompanied with that despair, where the only solution seems to be either death or oblivion. When I'm in the food, oblivion seems like a step up. I mean, that's what I want. I want total and complete escape from the reality that I live in. But today, with the opportunity to do step 10 and step 11 and also step 12, I get to look at the challenges in my life, and I get to reach out to a higher power and have faith that there's a solution that's much brighter than total and complete oblivion, that cuts me off from other people and cuts me off from the hope that I have in having a relationship with a higher power. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. Melanie C., followed by Marilyn T.
Hey, good morning, Mel. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon, and you know, there aren't any words for me to be able to truly convey the change that's come over me and the gratitude that I have for it. I drove this thing into the ground for over 50 years, and the best work I ever did was how to drive this thing into the ground. And in the face of what we're reading and talking about today, I'd like to look at the page 8 in the big book and just read it, because it speaks to me when I'm looking at this particular paragraph. And it's the first paragraph that says, "No words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. Food was my master. I gave it all up for food." And I'm not sure if people were finished tolerating me or not. I certainly withdrew from them. I withdrew from society. I withdrew from and these are the characteristics of what this disease did in my brownout stages of my life. I withdrew from everything with responsibility, and the only way that I was able to ever show up was I played the game of let's make a deal. Okay, so Melanie, you're going to do this today and feel like this, or you're going to do this today and feel like that, and I would always want to do this today and feel like this. That was my better, best thinking. And I would keep challenging that and keep moving and push and push and push. I never knew that I was trapped. I never knew that I was in prison. I didn't know that kind of thing. And that it was all because of this power that I had surrendered, complete surrendered control to the food. Because what evidence I found with that is, with that great good intention, locked behind my door at my house, shades drawn, not leaving, not answering the phone when the school would call for my kids, my hygiene was in poor to repair, that sort of thing. What I found when I would semi-awaken from my comatose state of overeating, that I had made the choice of this debate of let's make a deal, finding myself in front of the television set with a $10 cellophane bag, no longer full, and its partner, the one-quart dip-dip companion. And I was crying because somebody guessed what was behind door number 3 and they won. thinking that I was crying because I was so happy for them. And it really truly was an outpouring of what this mess had become, where I went to, where this thing took me, the progression of the disease. Isn't it something to think that it was one thing when I started this deal at 5 years old and came to the age of 50-something in front of a TV set like this, having given everything up? I faced the world behind a cellophane bag, and the evidence was wreckage completely around me. And I woke up every single day to the terror of, let's make a deal so we can deal with this thing that was going to be before me today, because I knew that I was sunk. And then the answer came. Oh, thank you. Then I just will say this. Then the answer came, and I have a bona fide second chance of living, and it's building a life that I never had before. Thanks, Mel, for that last couple seconds.
Thank you, Melanie C. Marilyn T., followed by Lisa J.R. Marilyn.
Hi, Mo.
Hi.
Thank you for letting me speak. I'm Marilyn T. from Southern California, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This is a good paragraph here. I just so can relate to the four horsemen. I can relate to waking up whatever time from my food coma. I like really liken it to is being in a food coma, really, you know, hand to mouth, not really knowing what you're doing, but just keep doing it. But waking up from the coma to the four horsemen, the terror, the bewilderment, the frustration and despair. As Melanie C. said, the bitter morass, the quicksand. And yet here we are coming up on the what I call the high holy days of food. When normal people can overindulge and think it's okay, they pick these certain holidays, etc., where, you know, every day, every minute was my high holy day of food. And I so relate to becoming the subject of king alcohol, king food. And that's all you are, is a shivering Desden, a slave to the mad realm. And yeah, loneliness settled in. I'm not going to deny it. But, you know, I lived in such a fantasy world that I really didn't think that I was that bad. And that is the whole mental twist and the blank spots that really affect my life as a compulsive overeater, was really not being in touch with any of that. The wanting the ease and comfort so bad that I would just have amnesia over the things that I didn't want to have to face and deal with. And the more unhappier I got, the worse I got. So I think what I'm just trying to say is this vision for you chapter I relate to in a lot of ways, and I know that the only peace that I have received in my 64 years on earth has been through reading this big book and doing this solution, this 12-step way, and in living in 10, 11, and 12, and daily taking off that emotional buildup that for some reason, for me, I just can't let it go. So, you know, before obsession takes over again, I have to continually be with my higher power. And I thank everyone for being here. Much gratitude is given for what has been received. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. And Lisa J.R., you'll be our reader now, our sharer.
Thank you so much for your service. What a delightful day and what a delightful paragraph. Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland. You know, denial is a powerful thing here because the walls had closed in on me and that denizen, that dark black hole that I was in. I wasn't even delusion. I guess I somehow stepped into delusion that things were going as badly as they were. Yeah, my life got darker and smaller. The food robbed me of a great career. I ate my way out of my career. I would pay my electric bill only when the shutoff notice came. I was pitiful. Talk about a slave to King food, you know, King cupcake, I called it. Really, really bad shape when I came in here. And I love Bill's apocalyptic reference to the four horsemen, because talk about terror, talk about bewilderment, frustration, despair. I was wanting to die. I can really relate to the first share about just wanting to die. As a matter of fact, when I realized that God was not answering my gumball prayers of, please deliver me from this, my prayers began, please take me home. I can't live like this anymore. And that went on for quite some time. You know, the body is a marvelous mechanism. And praise God, I stumbled into the rooms of Big Book Recovery. And a woman in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You, was moderating a 10 p.m. open Big Book meeting. And I heard something in her that I wanted. And she turned me on to Vision for You. And, you know, I made a deal with myself. I found that there were hundreds of people on the lines just like her. They were sensible. They had happiness, joyfulness, and freedom. And they were neutral with the food. And I made myself a deal. Look, I'm going to do these steps. And at the end of it, if I don't feel better, I can go to the bakery and run amok. That was my deal. You know, and thank the Lord, you know, I've never looked back. And when I get agitated, when I get frustrated, when I get angry or hangry, I can work the steps. I can stay in 10, 11, and 12. I can reach out and help somebody. And miraculously, you know, the food melted away. When I thought all along, it was like Hotel California. I could check in, but I could never check out. Well, you guys gave me a way out. I love what Leah says. You know, we hold the lantern. Somebody held the lantern over the text for me. And I just am dying to give it away to anyone that will accept, you know, the challenge. So
time.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Lisa J.R. And I will remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 151, the second paragraph, The Less People Tolerate Us. And now I'll take more names for those of you who'd like to share.
Mary G.
Roseanne.
Sherry K.
B. Patty M.
Patty
M. Stephanie N.
Sherry K. B.
Wendy M.
Wait.
Evangie.
Sherry. Sherry KB, who was after Sherry KB?
Stephanie N.
G.
Stephanie. No. And then next.
Patty D.
Patty T.
Wendy M.
G.
Wendy M. And one more.
Eileen F.
Eileen. Was that Eileen M?
S.
S. Okay, we'll stop there. All right, I have Mary G., Roseanne, I didn't get your last initial, Sherry KB, Stephanie, Patty T., Wendy M., and Eileen S. Here we go. Mary G.
Hello, this is Mary G. from Mesa, Arizona, and thank you for your service. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you. Wow, this paragraph is just brings back so many memories, terror, bewilderment, frustration, and then despair. I can remember, you know, in the first part of the paragraph where it would say we would sometimes go to sordid places. Well, for me, it wasn't really sordid, but I would have eating buddies, and we would go and eat, especially at Mexican restaurants, and just eat and eat and eat. And I would just be looking for that oblivion. And then maybe a day or two later, because I've gained so much weight, I look in my closet and I have terror, bewilderment. How on earth do these pants not fit? I could not figure it out. For me, the disease manifests itself as a lie. It is just such a lie. It's like I never thought that I ate that much. You know, I just couldn't imagine that I could have gained that much weight by, you know, with my behavior. And you know, one of the things that I heard in this rooms in the vision just struck me so much. I couldn't stand to be uncomfortable. I couldn't stand uncomfortable feelings, whether that meant I was angry, whether it meant I was in fear, whether it meant I was out of control, like I couldn't control somebody else. And so those uncomfortable feelings just always led me back into the food. And again, it was just that continual cycle. You know, I would say, oh my gosh, I just can't, this just can't go on. And, you know, a lot of this happened in OA. I've been in OA for 30 years. And, you know, it wasn't until I actually became desperate enough, physically desperate enough, that I was willing to listen to someone else. And even then, you know, I pretty much lost the weight, but I still didn't get that I had to change. I just didn't understand that. And it wasn't until, you know, in step one, it says our life is unmanageable. It wasn't until I totally understood that, you know, that my life was totally unmanageable. You know, I had a personal crisis in my life. And I decided, you know what, I need to change. And that was like such an amazing thing. And that happened about 9 years ago. And what a journey it has been. I'm so, so grateful that we go through these paragraphs and that, you know, we have this opportunity to listen to others experience strength and hope. And so thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary G. Roseanne, followed by Sherry KB. I don't have your last initial, Roseanne.
It's Suzanne D, as in dog.
Oh, Suzanne, sorry.
That's okay. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you very much.
Okay. This is Suzanne D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. And I just wanted to share, I haven't shared much. I got abstinent again after a relapse in June, and I just finished working the 12 steps through a vision sponsor, and I'm very grateful for that because I was just saying this to another OAer in vision yesterday, like, what a difference in the change in my perspective. And I was just thinking about what we read and the whole bewilderment and frustration and despair that I felt in December when my adult son was hospitalized. He has mental illness and he also has this disease that we suffer from. And I was in the food and I was isolated. I was confused. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't part of the solution. I was actually part of the problem. And the only reason I know that today is because I'm abstinent and my son was hospitalized again in August after I got abstinent, after I was working the steps and vision. And it was a totally different experience. And he's back home now, and I have clarity, and I'm part of the solution today. And it's just, it's a miracle, really, what happens when I put down the food. You know, I've relapsed on and off since I was in OA about 13 years ago, and it's just so much easier, even though I have to feel my feelings, and even though I am in pain and my heart breaks. It's still so much easier without the food. And I just hope and pray that I don't believe that lie when it tells me that I'll feel better if I eat, if I pick up the food, because I know today, for today, that's not true. And I'm just really grateful to know that. And so I will just keep on practicing, you know, 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, just hope that I can stay abstinent one day at a time and be part of the solution. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Suzanne D. Sherry KB, followed by Stephanie N. Thank Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB, Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And this paragraph gives me the shivers. It really does. less people tolerated us, the more we withdrew from society. And what I want to say is, I think it was in my mind that people less tolerated me, but really what I didn't tolerate was myself and my emotions. I couldn't tolerate my emotions. I used the food for courage, and I didn't realize that until I did this work. I didn't realize that piled underneath all this food was that, the terror, the bewilderment, the hideous horseman, the frustration, the despair. I had no idea. I was really in denial about being uncomfortable in my own skin and the world. I had no idea because it was covered up by mass quantities of food. And when I look at this, I love looking up definitions, and people have talked about, the despair, and definitely with the loss of hope and that it destroyed all the hope I had. But when I looked at the definition of frustration, that really blew me away when I looked it up in the Big Book Dictionary. A deep chronic sense of state of insecurity and dissatisfaction arising from unresolved problems or unfulfilled needs. Boy, does that define me, how I used to be. And the shivers, the shivering of demisins, which means inhabitants, it means residents, occupants of, being occupied by my compulsive overeating, that I turned food into my higher power. And today, I turn to my higher power in the steps, and that's what makes such a difference, and I stay out of the four horsemen. It's not that I can't wake up with them, but I don't have to ride with them today anymore. I get to ride alongside of my higher power as long as I'm lining up my will with my higher power's will, and I'm doing this work, and I'm living in 10, 11, and 12, and helping others. I don't have to face those four horsemen anymore. And it's not to say that I don't wake up with things sometimes. I have no control over that. But what I do have is to be able to turn to my higher power for help, and they don't stay there as long. That's what I can tell you that has changed so much for me after doing this work this way. And you can have this too. And we don't have to live this way anymore. And I used to hold my breath from around this time till the after first or second week in January, and I don't have to do that anymore, and neither do you. Thank you, and that I pass.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Stephanie N., followed by Patty T. Stephanie.
Okay, thanks, Mo. This is Stephanie N., recovered in Kansas, and the line that jumped out at me was hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. And when I was in the food, I was basically hiding in the food, whether I was alone or if I was surrounded by people. It didn't matter. I just needed food to feel comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. And it had nothing to do with my weight. I went through a period of anorexia for years, and I didn't feel comfortable in my skin. And I've been compulsive overeating, bulimia, anorexia, all of it. I just never felt comfortable if I was alone or with others. I just didn't feel like something was right. And so the hoping to find understanding, hoping to find companionship and approval, that's all I ever really wanted, was just to fit in. And I was desperate for acceptance and love. And I was looking for my value outside of myself. And once I went through the steps, something shifted and I started to feel comfortable in my own skin, and I started to feel comfortable with myself and with other people, and I could be honest with people, and I didn't have to get their approval, because I felt comfortable. And that is one of the miracles of the program. And I didn't come into the program for that. I did not come in to be rid of my self-seeking. I didn't come in to stop desiring the approval of others. But that was one of the results. And I am so grateful that I don't have to sit around hoping to find understanding and companionship, because it's inside of me now that I don't have to be understood anymore. And that I don't have to gain the approval of others anymore. And that is a miracle. And I'm so grateful for that gift that has come from the program, and I'm so grateful for the program and for all of you, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie N. Patty T., followed by Wendy M. Patty.
Hi, this is Patty D. from North Carolina. Gratefully Sorry. Recovered. That's okay. Gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. I just wanted to share that one of the people before me shared that God wasn't answering her telephone prayers, and that really caught my attention, because when I was subject of King Food, I used to throw up prayers to God all the time. Please help me. Please help me. Help me lose weight. Help me stop eating like this. But I wasn't willing to surrender the food. And so I would withdraw. And I was bewildered. I was so frustrated. And I became really depressed and despairing because I couldn't believe that I was so heavy, that these clothes, I had to go into the plus size to buy clothes. How was this happening? How could this be happening to me? And I just didn't understand why God wasn't helping me. I had such faith, and my faith was such a huge part of my life. But it took OA and the steps, and especially the first step, the first three steps, to help me realize that I had surrendered so much of my life to God, but I hadn't surrendered my food. And those little telephone prayers weren't doing it, because God knew, and finally I knew, what needed to be done. And that was to surrender to Him and to surrender my food. And OA showed me that. My sponsor showed me that. I'm so grateful to her. She has just helped me so much. And my 10th step partner right now, last night, she just helped me so much. Thank you so much. And I'm so grateful to be in this family. And to the newcomers, just, hang in there, keep coming back, because this works. This is wonderful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. Wendy M., followed by Eileen S. Sorry.
Yes, good morning. This is in Boulder, Colorado, and grateful to be on the line entire abstinence. Thank you, God. And thank you, Hope. And I've loved the shares today. Are phenomenal. There's the less people tell us. So I'm a professional people pleaser and a professional controller. So I made it my business that people tolerated me. Like, no one was going to not like me. Like, I remember in sixth grade, we were a circle of girls at a birthday party, and everyone had to say something horrible about another person. And no one could say anything horrible about me. Like, I had succeeded because I basically isolated emotionally, and I was such a people pleaser, such a controller, that I made sure you tolerated me, you know. And guess what? I'm guessing that there's some people out there that don't tolerate me. What do you think, you know? So I just wanted to point that out first. Seeking people's approval, absolutely. I go up to people that I don't know. Will you rescue me? What about you? Will you rescue me, you know? And the other thing I want to say is that, you know, my food is down. Thank you, God. I do have neutrality, and I recommend, if you are entirely abstinent, congratulations. And if you're not, I recommend you call me or somebody to get help on getting entirely abstinent. Either way, you know, last night, pick up the food, but certainly I had an emotional binge, right? I called several fellows. I said, I'm not going to blame my boyfriend. I'm not going to do that to him. The minute he gets there, I pick up. You know, it's like picking up potato chips, picking up whatever. Is that my time?
No.
Oh, okay. So the point being that, you know, somebody said before, I can't tolerate my emotions, right? It feels like I can't tolerate them. I've got to get rid of uncomfortable feelings. And so I'll just binge on people emotionally. You know, I'll just act out, because in that moment I get ease and comfort by blaming, by with my love, any tactics I've got to control the situation so I don't have to feel my emotions, so I don't have to take responsibility for my emotions, you know. And it turns out that I can't take responsibility for my emotions, but I go to God and say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do relating to other people. I just don't. And the I don't know is a revolutionary sentence. It means I can get out of the way. It means I can set aside what I think I know, and I can go to God and say, show me. You know, and the prayer could be just help me, show me. You know, if I'm really willing to finally let go of the control, because that's the deal for me. I want to control a situation so I don't have to feel my emotions. And if I can let go of the control, if I can truly go to God, go to you guys, and say, I need to let go of this control. I have to let go of it. And I don't even know how to let go of control. I don't know how to, quote, get rid of these feelings. Because I'm not going to, you know, it's about acceptance. So I'm a neophyte. I'm brand new. The food is down. But now it's time to get real, to find out first place. And it's relating to other human beings. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy M. And I mean S.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me, Mo?
I can.
Great. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Thank you for your service, Mo, and I'm very grateful to be on the line with all of you. I haven't been around for a little while. I love being back in the big book. I'm in the big book, but I've been reading it with you guys, and it's so wonderful. The more we withdrew from society, from life itself, why do I relate to that? My disease was all about that. I never had binge buddies. I only ate by myself. Nobody ever saw me eat the shit that I ate. People, checkers at grocery stores saw me buy the stuff. And of course, I pretended I was having a party as if they cared. But it was all about doing it by myself. The less people tolerated us, I don't know if they tolerated me or not, but what I do know is as I withdrew more and more from society and from life, people would ask me to do things and I'd say, no, no, no. People stopped asking me because I said no all the time. And I loved it where it says the chilling vapor that is loneliness settled down. And it's very foggy where I am this morning. And I just think of the vapor of loneliness just enveloped me. And I couldn't even say that word. And by the way, I was out in the world. I had my own business. I looked like everything was fine. So it's pretty interesting how much this disease makes me pretend and lie to myself. I just, yeah, very grateful to be hearing everything that you guys had to say. Today is my 6 months of abstinence in visions. I've had many years of abstinence. Back-to-back abstinence before, but I've never had the kind of neutrality and abstinence that I have in visions that I've learned here. And I just want to put this out there. I started this new job recently. The hours are absolutely wacky. And I wanted to just put out there, if there's anybody that I oftentimes I have a lot going on when I leave work. I'm working at a prison now, which is amazing, but there's lots of feelings and lots of stuff. And 10 steps I'd love to be able to do, like sometimes on the way home or sometimes on the way to work. So I'm Pacific time. If there's anybody who can take calls like around 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I would really appreciate hearing from you. My name is Eileen S. I-L-E-N-E, initial S as in Sam, in Portland, Oregon. You can look my number up in the list. But I would really, really appreciate knowing there's some people I can call because I don't want to call anybody that late unless I know they're available. So anyway, that's all I want to share. Very grateful to be here, to be reading with you guys and hearing all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. And we have time for one more quick share. 2 minute share.
Deborah?
Kathy G.
All right, Deborah, we'll take you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful shares this morning. My name is Deborah, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Usually not on this meeting, but I'm so grateful I am. The issue with this terror and bewilderment, all of the symptoms of this disease for me was dishonesty. Not dishonest to the core. And that is still being revealed to me, the dishonesty, but it was first shown with my food. I didn't, in the beginning, and I still do, weigh my food. I was dishonest sometimes about how much it weighed, how much I wanted to tell my sponsor. And that really revealed to me so much of my dishonesty around life, because of, for whatever reasons, pain, pride, shame, all of those things. But through this program, things are really being uncovered. And I have free will. I don't want self-will, but I have free will when my higher power, God, reveals to me that, you know, you're not being very honest. I can shut down and the disease calls, or I can be really honest and open and take that courageous step of being real and vulnerable. And fear of that is much greater than actually the consequences, what happens when I am honest. The fear of being honest and what will happen is the greatest chain around us, around me. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share. Take care. Have a great day.
Perfect. Thank you very much for your share. And thank you all who were on the meeting this morning, and for Laura A., Nan K., Eileen M., Nareya K., and Sherry K.B. for your service. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nareya K. please read A Vision for You?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay, this is Nareya K. In Moscow. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. After your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the record of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the spirit, and you will surely meet some of us on your trudge, as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.